We've been listening to the fabulous Sammy Miller Congregation. Now, some of you might know about that NPR's Tiny Desk Concerts that they have down in Washington, D.C. at their headquarters. That's when all the great musicians go in and they squeeze into this little room and they pour out their hearts with wonderful music for the folks that are down there listening to them. Well, guess what? Here at Razzle Dazzle Radio in the Dragon Radio Studios at Howard Community College, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, oh, even more folks in this tiny desk studio. Thanks to Chris for directing the show today. Thanks, guys. It's wonderful to have you here. And I'm going to turn it over to Janet Gordon, my co-host. So, Carolyn Kellerman, I'm just going to love listening to you guys.
Thank you, Carolyn. We are so excited to have Grammy-nominated Sammy Miller here with us today and the Sammy Miller Congregation. Welcome to Howard County, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's great for you to be here. We were so excited to see the show. Howard County and Carol Graham wrote a really wonderful show that's called the Hot New Deal. And Sammy and the congregation are the music for the show. Their band plays the whole time, and it's just fantastic. And we'd like to sort of introduce everybody. I hope I can remember. We have Sammy. Sammy, I know you hail from Los Angeles. You want to tell us a little bit about how you got here?
Yeah, so I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I grew up always playing music. I'm one of five kids, and since I was 5 years old, I played in a family band with my brother and sisters, always making music all the time. And at some point it led me to jazz, which led me to New York City and led me to Ellicott City, to GCS.
The next best thing.
It is the best
thing. From New York City. Well, that's fantastic. It's so great to have you here, Sammy. And John is on bass, plays the bass. Tell us a little bit where you hail from.
Yeah, so I'm from Los Angeles as well. Sammy actually and I played a couple gigs in Los Angeles growing up in college. And yeah, just grew up in my parents are artists too, so I grew up in a home that is welcoming of the arts and think the arts are very important for the world. So I love this band because we have the same mentality. So it's great
to
be here.
That always helps. That always helps. And Gabe? Gabe was on the trumpet?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us a little bit about where you're from, Gabe.
I am from the great city of Iowa City, Iowa. And
all right.
I come from
Isn't that the Music Man
76?
City?
It's,
you
know, it's the right, yeah, River City.
River Pro. City, that's right.
Okay, they have Gary, Indiana, you know. But it's about Iowa, let's not forget. Everything's about
gazebo,
Iowa.
You see that gazebo, you know?
Yeah, that's where I'm from. I actually came from a musical theater set. No, I'm just kidding. But I, my family is full of a lot of public school teachers and predominantly public school music educators, so I just come from a long line of being a part of a community and playing music with a lot of people in the community. So I'm, you know, really happy to have moved out to the East Coast and gotten the opportunity to play with a lot of amazing musicians through school and other things. And like Sammy said, here I am now in Ellicott City.
You're really definitely hometown America.
Oh, yeah.
middle America. Yes. And we have Dave over here. Dave Leonard?
Yeah, yeah, that's
piano
me.
Piano and harmonica.
Yes, mostly piano, but I've been trying to learn harmonica. So I am from Indianapolis, Indiana, and my parents don't play music, but actually my grandpa, who is the guy that gave me my first harmonica, he is from like the middle of nowhere in Missouri and is the kind of guy that would sit on the front porch in his home in Hollister, Missouri, in the Ozarks, and would play banjo and guitar with all his Irish brothers, you know, this huge Irish Catholic family.
Oh, I
and
love
they would
it.
Just sit on the porch and play. So I like to think I have some of that in me.
Hey, you've got a great radio voice. How about working for us for a little
he
bit?
Does. And were you that did were you on were you the one that said, "Is this a piano?"
Yes.
Oh my God, that was so classic. It just you know, that was such a good moment in the show. Hopefully our audience will see the show and they'll know what we're talking about.
Yes.
And we have Ben.
Yes.
Ben is
Hello.
Tenor sax. Hey,
That's
Ben.
Right. Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Good to have you here. Welcome to Columbia.
It's great to be in Columbia. I love it here. We're all
Tell
having
us a little
time.
Bit about yourself, Ben.
Well, I play the saxophone. I grew up in Santa Cruz, California, and started playing music around junior high school. And I think I met Sammy actually while I was in high school. I was lucky in Santa Cruz to have a lot of opportunities to play music. There's a great club called the Kumba Jazz Center. There's a lot of culture, a lot of young people, so I was surrounded by music at a young age and met Sammy. We played together in college, and we've been jamming ever since.
Well, that's fantastic. That chemistry, I think, is really so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, welcome. It's great Thanks. To have you here in Howard County. And we, last but not least, we have Sam Crittenden on the trombone. Hey, Sam. Welcome.
Yeah, all right.
Tall Sam.
Tall Sam. Tall Sam's in the house. I'm from DeKalb, Illinois, known as the home of Northern Illinois University and the birthplace of barbed wire.
Is that Barbara Streisand's? No.
And not Barbara Streisand. But Cindy Crawford went to my high school, oh. So let's... This is... I'm just a walking fact book. I play the trombone, and we really couldn't be more excited to be doing this. It's really, it's awesome for me. I got to do a couple shows in high school, and sometimes from the university, people would come in and interact with us, and it's cool to be doing the same thing and watching how our interactions with the kids, you know, they really brighten up when we're in there, and it. They get really excited when we come in and play with them, and it's awesome to be able to give back in the same way that I kind of got when I was in high school, too. It's great to be here.
It's really great to have you here. As we were saying, Sammy Miller Congregation, they are playing in the musical The Hot New Deal at the Glenelg Country School here in Howard County, written by local Carol Graham, and the show is just fantastic. It's such a great, has such a great message for kids, and Sammy does a great job. I think, Sammy, you're also the conductor. Bandmaster,
sure.
And
they're
this thread that goes through the show, and basically they help these kids in a small town learn about jazz. And can you tell us a little bit? I know this sort of started out as a workshop, Sammy. The Hot New Deal.
Yeah,
you came to the school. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
About a year ago, we were on tour, and we were driving down to Charlotte, and a friend of ours. His mother is a teacher at GCS and recommended that, you know, we do a lot of education work wherever we go. So we've done residencies from Ferguson, Missouri to Providence to Los Angeles. We were there for 2 weeks. And basically a huge element of what this band does is education. So we were playing concerts at night, but we're always trying to find schools to work in the day. And so as we were driving out of Charlotte, we stopped in to do a workshop, an assembly on basically... What is jazz? Like, where does it come from?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the cultural context of that music? And so that assembly serves as a foundation for this show because we're dealing with elements of sort of what are the blues and how is music used to express and heal the pains of the blues? And we talk about who is this guy, Louis Armstrong? Why would jazz get created in New Orleans and what makes that American?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that was such a great message in the show that takes place during the Depression, yeah. That these kids in, is it Indiana? Where are the...
Yeah, Sharondale, Indiana.
Sharondale, Indiana, they're rehearsing their music show. They're trying to get their chorus, and they're trying to get to Chicago. Is it for the fair or the World's
Fair?
Yeah,
for a competition at the Chicago
World's competition,
fair.
Right. And this big dog from New Orleans is also going to Chicago, and he stumbles on stage, and he has his guitar, and he teaches these kids a new style of music that they'd never heard before. And it's jazz, and they—I can't remember the song that the local kids do, and then he does it in the jazz style. The first one.
Oh, they're doing.
Mary, right?
Was it Mary? Kikade. Oh, it was. Yeah. Oh, Kikade. Yeah. They first do it in that really traditional style, and then he shows them how to do it in the jazz style.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the things that we really wanted to do was be as accurate as we can and honor history correctly. So in the case, like, there's this really fascinating thing that happens in the 20s and 30s of all these New Orleans musicians moving up north to cities like Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then with the Great Depression, all of a sudden, this really did happen, where these territory bands would get broken down in small cities. And the impact that could have is tremendous. And so a character like Big Dog that was happening all over.
Right. And the fact that he came into this small town in Indiana, and these kids had never heard jazz, that they'd never really met anybody like him, and that they were so accepting. It was that, so the message of acceptance, and how music, you know, you can change your mind about music, you can change your mind about race, you can change your mind, and it just has all those wonderful messages, I think.
Yeah, and basically it's about... It's a way, the music is basically a way to give access to people, to other people. So like, or other persons, like to relate to other people. So in the case of jazz, it's basically, it enables people to relax and see the common thread that they have with other people's humanity. So jazz is like a music that in that time was foreign. A lot of people, you know, it was considered a black music.
Right.
And so people in the North were scared of it. But actually, once you hear the music, there's something so inviting and warm. And I think that is that idea that music can actually just connect you to other human beings. And it doesn't need to be jazz. I mean, that's universal. And that's really
absolutely
a core element of this band, too. It's just inviting people into being, you know, excited about being alive.
Exactly. And that was so important for that period of time, when America was going through World War II and the Depression. And I think one of the great messages that Carol, what she wrote, was when these kids they expressed their fears about their families and their fathers losing jobs and, you know, holes in their shoes, you know, not having socks, not, you know, being cold, being hungry. And that message of the one girl, the one that was shy, I can't remember her. Do you remember her?
Elsie.
And when Mary said, turn scary into something else.
Well, I think as a jazz musician or as a musician who's, I mean, we have never done anything like this before. We've never written parts for high school choirs to sing. We've never put on a musical. Well, I guess we kind of have put on a musical, but we've never done
this.
Yeah, we've never done this before. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it is sort of unique, I think, to have usually, you know, the musical theater that I know, you have, you know, you hire different people to come in to be your pit orchestra, you know, for the show.
Yes.
Where, you know, that I don't think it's probably normal to have a group come in and, you know, like a jazz group.
And we're in the show.
Actually be playing the music and be part of the show. At the end of the show, the musicians come on stage, and it's very exciting.
Well, don't give it away.
I shouldn't have given it away. But it was just...
Don't listen.
No, yeah, that was fake news. That was fake news. That doesn't really happen.
For us, this has been a lesson, I think, in... I mean, under Sammy's leadership, and this has just been a lesson in just going for it and doing it anyway, even if you aren't quite sure what's going to become of it, just doing it.
Well, and just to to jump on. What he said, though, about us interacting with the kids on stage, it's something we figured out from a lot of assemblies and workshops we do, where rather than us coming in and saying, like, okay, this is how jazz sounds, mm-hmm. and all of us have been to a lot of workshops and whatnot, mm-hmm. why not play with the students and let them feel what that feels like? So we're trying to do that with the show by participating and having the kids basically play with us.
Which I think is wonderful. I know as a kid, I didn't know that much about jazz. So to this day, I'm like, well, where's the melody? Well, you know, it sort of scares me a little bit, but I guess there's alternative jazz where you really don't hear much of the melody. Would that be what you call it? I don't know. Should somebody else tell me about that? I've sort of broadened my horizons more about, mm-hmm. Trying to like jazz. Mm-hmm. And especially you guys. I mean, I was jumping out of my seat yesterday. It was so wonderful.
Right. So, yeah, exactly what you just said. And just to go off what we've been saying, it's like we're trying to express to these kids that jazz is a music of really happiness that sometimes gets lost through the years, and that these people like Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington and Fats Waller, they were comedians, they were, kind of actors, they were embracing life and expressing that, the joy and the other aspects of life through the music. But there are melodies and there are the connections you make. It's all happiness, and it's, sometimes it's lost, but we're trying to just convey that jazz can be fun and jazz can be cool. And, it's an amazing American art form that was created in New Orleans by Louis Armstrong.
Absolutely. And the music in the show, actually, most of these songs are older songs. They do a rendition of My Gentle Lena Clare. Did I say that mm-hmm. right? A Stephen Foster tune, Way Down Yonder in New Orleans. You want to tell me a couple more that,
Or how about singing a few verses?
Hi there. Sammy Miller and the Congregation here. And we are going to play Little Liza Jane for you.
Can I get a note? Little Liza, Jane, Jane, little Liza.
Little Liza, Jane, Jane, little Liza. Little Liza, Jane, Jane, little Liza. Little Liza, Jane, little Liza.
Thank you.
it was so wonderful.
What we enjoy about these songs is that they're basically the opposite of cynicism. It's, you know, it's like we like to think of irony as being dead. You know, we like to wear our hearts on our sleeves and not be ashamed of that. And I think that's what I hear when I hear jazz.
Some of these composers and songs, a lot of people are familiar with. Some of the songs have turned into standard tunes, and like Camptown Races, sing this song. Who wrote that one? That was
Stephen Foster.
So Stephen Foster wrote all these songs that are familiar with people all over the place, but then there are so many songs that have been lost over the years that people don't know about. But, and you mentioned melody. A lot of these songs have such beautiful melodies.
Beautiful melodies.
So I think they really resonate with us, and it's really special to be able to perform these songs and relate them to a younger audience.
Absolutely.
So they can hear them for the first time maybe and get excited about jazz or American music.
Yes, absolutely.
Ben said exactly what I think is really cool about this, which is that these songs are so great on their own, and there are so many of them that when we're able to get with the high school kids and work with them and they open up, then suddenly it has a life of its own. The song becomes the foundation for a broader thing, which is, you know, suddenly we're really hitting hard on the music and they start to sing more openly and there's dancing involved and the band is dancing and it's...
trying to dance.
Trying, the band is trying. The band is trying and failing to dance, but... trying to stay upright. So come see the show. But yeah, it's there's so much material out there and available, and so much of it is good that it's just finding a way to tap into that humanity, as Sammy said, and tap into what we believe strongly in the music, which is the joy that can come out of that and the catharsis that can come out of sharing that experience with other people. Who inspire you and who make you want to express yourself in a way that you're not afraid to do so, which I think taps into what we were talking about with Emma's character Elsie, which is that she's so afraid to sing and she's so shy for most of the show, and as people continue to encourage her and she begins to discover her voice, which is kind of something that we've been doing over the last couple of years as well, in a lot of ways. When we started, we were originally, you know, we're just trying to honor jazz music, and now we do a theater show where we sing and we're dancing and we have lines and suddenly there's jokes flying around the stage, and that's something that you just kind of have to grow into in a lot of ways. So it's cool to see that reflected in the show.
One of the last words in the show was the local homeless person, the bench, the guy who hung out on the bench, the homeless kind of bum guy.
Granger.
Mr. Granger, yeah. And then he finally confronts the mayor that comes in that's kind of the bigoted guy?
He's just a townsperson.
Oh, is he just a townsperson? He finally speaks up at the end and gets his say in, too. And he finds his voice. So, again, the show is the new hot deal, and it's going to be playing through the weekend at Glen Elg Country Day School, and it's just wonderful. Please try to get out and see it. We wanted to ask you guys, Sammy, where do you go from here? What are your thoughts about maybe where this show might go? To other schools around the country?
Yeah, this is just the beginning of the Hot New Deal. And one of the reasons we've been really invested in working hard on the show is I think Carol and myself and everybody here see a future for it, where basically, we tour all over the country and all over the world. And so the idea of a different way for kids to be exposed to this music, and basically... rather than us just playing a concert, imagine if we come into a school and do a theater show, a musical with students there. And then that's just an element of what we could do and engage the music students at the school. We can engage the theater kids. And all of a sudden, all the people who would come see the show go like, wait, is that what jazz is? Is that the feeling I'm supposed to get? Because I really like this.
Exactly, exactly. So that's wonderful, and good luck with that.
All the songs that we're playing today are off our first full-length mixtape, yes, which is out on February 28th, and the single Little Liza Jane that we started the show with, that's out now, so you can go online today and get that.
It's just such a wonderful thing that you're doing.
You guys are great, and we're just so excited
that you're going to, we hope that you enjoy your week and you get great crowds, and we want to wrap it up by hearing you guys play, and also, Carolyn, you want to remind us about, do you happen to know the times of the show?
I can tell you.
Oh, Sammy?
It's 7 p.m. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we're doing a special matinee on Saturday at 2.
Okay, great. Hopefully everybody will hear this and come out and see, you know, how wonderful the show is. And this is just the beginning.
This is just the beginning.
The new hot deal. Remember that, because I think it's going to go far. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.